This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. This is Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Innovative thoughts from baseball's best coaching minds from around the world. Brought to you by lineupmedia.fm. Now your host, former USA Baseball National Team Coach, Peter Caliendo.
Hey, good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, wherever you're at, in the U.S. and around the world. Welcome to Baseball Outside the Box, the show that loves to interview baseball's best coaching minds who love the challenge, the status quo. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Thanks for joining us on this evening. It is 6 p.m. Chicago time. A couple of quick announcements before we start. First, aloha to everybody in Honolulu, Hawaii. If you listen to our special announcement today, we are now joining ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM. And it is a great honor. So special mahalo to all of you in Honolulu. And hopefully we'll get to everybody in Hawaii. Listen to the show. Second announcement, check it out next couple of days. We'll make another announcement. A couple sponsors where we'll be joining us. One of them will be Human Kinetics. Human Kinetics has outstanding books, all levels of the game, not only baseball, but also all sports. But we'll talk about that later, but just wanted to let you know. And again, don't forget, go to YouTube, Peter Caliendo, subscribe. Go to baseballoutsidethebox.com, subscribe. That's where the audio's at. YouTube's the video. Check it out. Do us a favor and spread the show the best you can. Social media, emails. We're now into 100 countries. So we got listeners from 100 countries, and we are thrilled to have you. And without our listeners, we would not have a show. So thanks very much, everybody in the U.S. and around the world. All right, today we're talking Serbian baseball. Yes, Serbian baseball. You heard right. We go all over the world, talk to experts in the game. Why? Because we believe you can learn from anybody in the game, anywhere in the world. And I think you believe the same thing. You can always pick up something great from coaches. So got a good friend of mine. We're going to introduce him now, Nick Mitrovic. Now, if it was an Italian name, I'd be able to pronounce it better. So I don't mess that up. But a little background on Nick. You know, he played in Serbia, went to Main East High School right here in Chicago, Illinois. 2018, he was coaching a Serbian team. And he also coached high school at Main East from 2016 on. So he not only does he have coaching experience, but also he has international experience. I met him in 2017. Well, actually, we knew each other already, but I met him there in Belgrade for the Beat Cup, European Beat Cup, when I was with the Bulgarian team. So let's not waste any time. I'll call him Nick. Let's welcome my buddy Nick. How you doing, buddy?
Hey, Pete. Thanks for having me on. I want to congratulate you. I saw that announcement that you're going to be on ESPN Honolulu in Hawaii. That's a pretty big thing. So I kind of feel special to be here today with you and talking to an international baseball celebrity, honestly.
Not only that, but you're the first guest that Hawaii will be listening to. So, man, the pressure's on. Honolulu's listening.
It's an honor. It's an honor. And I appreciate being the first. And hello to everyone in Hawaii and around the world. This is a great honor for me, and I'm glad that we get to talk some baseball.
All right, folks, if you're live on Facebook, you have any questions for Nick, and it's funny, now Mitrovic, I pronounced it right this time, right?
Yep, that's perfect.
If you got any questions on Facebook, just type them in the comment section. We'll get them. So, hey, Nick, let's get it started a little bit. I know you grew up in Chicago. How's the Serbian connection? How did that start? Obviously, your background, your parents Serbian?
Yeah, both parents are Serbian. I'm actually fifth generation here. So that's obviously on my dad's side being fifth generation. On my mom's side, she's the first one from really her family to be here in the States. So have a really deep connection with the Serbian community. Take very big pride in being Serbian. We do all the, cultural things, the traditions, celebrate Christmas on a different day, celebrate Easter usually on a different day. So we do all that stuff. And it really just runs through me a lot, that Serbian blood. And it's something that really is a big part of my life. And running into Serbia baseball and having that opportunity and showing the love for the game of baseball and the love for the roots of my culture, and for them to run right in the same path is something that's spectacular for me and something that I don't take for granted, because I think it's a very special thing to not only be Serbian and be proud to be Serbian, but also represent the Serbian community on an international level.
Absolutely. And you, and personally, you do that very well. And I'm excited to have you on the show. And folks, as you know, I'm Italian American, so I get where you're coming from. My parents were both born in Italy, and you know, I'm very proud of being an Italian American. So, and I got a chance to meet, obviously, throughout the years with our coaching clinics and competing, got to meet, you know, the Serbian coaches, the players. I mean, what just an honor. We're going to talk about that. But give us an idea. All of a sudden, you know, you're coaching it, you played at Maine East and you're coaching at Maine East High School. And all of a sudden, how does the Serbian Baseball Federation contact you? How'd that all happen?
Well, it's a very funny story, actually, Pete. My dad, he was one of the main reasons this came to be. He was working at Fox during the Cubs World Series run in 2016. And personally, you know, being from Chicago, it's either a Cubs or Sox town, and I'm not really a big Cubs fan. So I was just doing it to support my dad, watching him do this Facebook live feed for Fox News Chicago, and sending as many likes and commenting and everything that I possibly could. And sure enough, someone from Serbia sends him a message saying, hey, we're going to be in Serbia. And Nikola, who you know very well with the Serbian Federation, was the one to contact him. And Nikola was just basically saying that they'd be in Indiana and they needed some help with some players if he knew anyone. And that's how it just kind of happened. And the relationship just took off from the moment that we all met. I still laugh about it. And I tell everyone that asks me about it and how it got started. When we met at the hotel for the first time, you would have thought we all knew each other like brothers. Like we were just going to break bread, have some, you know, drinks together, like a wedding or so, like a typical traditional, like Serbian wedding or get together. And it was just lucky that it kind of happened that way. And thanks to my dad for going on Facebook Live and doing what he did, because if he didn't, then this probably would never be. So
thank you. A special shout out to Mr. Mitrovic, and also got a shout out to our great friend Nikola Wu with the Federation, Serbian Federation, one of the hardest working coaches and people that I know anywhere in the world. What a great guy and a hard worker.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I'm pretty much in contact with him every day, almost every day. And it's, you know, from players to equipment, which these are new hats this year that we will be sporting at the 2021 now European Championships in Belgrade. So him and I talk all the time. We have a great relationship. What he's doing in Serbia is absolutely phenomenal. He's really taken on a big role. I mean, he's always had a big role, but the role in terms of getting kids to come out, we've already published one magazine that he's designed and pretty much edited the whole thing by himself, pretty much with some help from myself and some other people. So he's really taken on that huge role for us in Serbia and expanding the game. And what he does, there's not many words that can be said. You know, I sometimes joke around with him, obviously, and but it's amazing. He's a great ambassador for the game. He's a fun guy, especially for the Little League too. Like I said, the kids love being around him. He's just a good guy to be around. And I have the pleasure to call him a friend, and I guess I don't really see it too much as a colleague, because this is just this is something that we take so much pride in, that it's just more of a friendly adventure that we're in here. And I love working with them. It's fun.
Yeah. And folks, just so you know, great location, Chicago, because, you know, it's a melting pot of the world here in Chicago. Big Serbian community here also. You know, and here's the thing. I want to talk about Serbian baseball. I want to get into some of the dynamics about it, and from the grassroots level all the way to the national team. But before we do, here you are now. They asked you to come to Serbia to play, to coach. What's that experience? What's that like? And what's the experience once you arrive?
Well, it's, I mean, honestly, Pete, it's the great, I know it's going to be kind of cliche or not really the answer that, you know, many want to hear because it's just such an easy way out to say what I'm about to say. But honestly, it was the greatest thing I've ever experienced in my life. I'm 27 years old, and there's still hopefully a lot to experience in life. But as of right now, in the 27 years of my life, it's the greatest thing. Once I put that jersey on or the hat on, even right now, I get chills wearing this, knowing that I'm representing a country that goes back so far for me. You know, I wouldn't be here right now if it wasn't a Mitrovic or a Živković on my mom's side. Yeah. That, you know, that came here. So it's such an awesome thing. The pride is unbelievable. The sport of baseball in Serbia is very small. And that's the same thing with a lot of European countries, as you know, Pete. But it's still the national team. You know, I mean, I don't think that just because we're the Serbian baseball national team that we're any lower than the soccer team in Serbia representing at the national level. That's the pride I take into it. And when I talk to someone like yourself or just someone outside of, you know, the Serbian community or inside the Serbian community, I try to be the best ambassador that I possibly can for this federation and for the country of Serbia, because I feel like this is the most prideful thing that I've ever done in my life. And the guys in Serbia, I've got that connection with them that I want to represent them to the highest level that I possibly could as well.
Now, you played there, correctly?
I did, yes. Back in 2017, actually, that's when I ran into you and your Bulgaria team.
What was the challenge? What were some challenges as a player? You're an American player, even though you're Serbian-American. You're now got to play with Serbians. What was the challenge, you know, being part of the team and, you know, first time playing with guys that you really didn't know?
Well, that's what I was kind of saying when we met each other for the first time at the hotel. We just had a great chemistry right away. And I know there's been times where I've been on teams where the chemistry wasn't there and it fractures a team, honestly. So once I got in there and I got an at bat or I got in the field, they were rooting for me once again, like we've been playing for years. And it just felt so comforting to be in an atmosphere and, just a loose atmosphere to say, you know, I don't have to put too much pressure on myself. I can go out and do what I do and it will be just fine. And that's what I did. And it ended up working out really well. The one thing that I will say though, to the other part of your question of how it's kind of different. The games are a lot longer in Europe. I don't know if you noticed that, Pete. Nine innings, of course, to you and I are looking like a regular nine innings. You go down to, you know, Wrigley Field or Guaranteed Rate Field, you're in and out in 2.5 hours. A game in Europe is completely different. And that's what I try to also tell people as well, is when you're there, the game is a marathon. Nine innings can be 3.5 hours, 4 hour game, but that's just the norm, you know, over there. And that's nothing wrong with it. It was just weird to, you know, when you get there and you're expecting to be out maybe in about 2.5 hours, 3 hours, and then all of a sudden the sun's gone and you're like, wait a second, this game started at noon, you know? So
absolutely. How about now? Let's talk about the grassroots level, you know, because, you know, Serbian baseball goes back a while. Obviously, it started, you know, with Yugoslavia prior to that, then became, you know, their own country. But what about, you know, developing this sport there? What's it, you know, a challenge is probably, I would assume, is soccer, because a lot of kids play soccer in Europe. What do you guys do, you know, Nikolai, yourself, or and others with the federation, what do you do to try to get kids to play the game? And then we're going to talk about also, what do you do to try to keep them in the game?
Well, that's another great question, Pete. You're hitting me with the greatest questions here. So Hawaii is getting a good treat here because these are all great. But yeah, no. So growing the game, as you said, soccer is the main thing in Serbia. Then Novak Djokovic and tennis and water polo and, you know, handball too is a big sport there along with basketball. So Serbia is, although small, has great athletes all over the country. And if we could just tap into that talent a little bit, which we've already found some good kids in Serbia that can play that are so under the radar that you would be like, you'd be shocked. You'd be like, wow, I didn't realize once one that you guys had a national team and two, how good some of your talent really is. Finding them you got to find them at a young age. And that's what we're really trying to do. We're really at the grassroots level right here. And we're just trying to really expand this thing as fast as we can, but we know it's going to take time. So realistically, we've been about 3 or 4 years into heavily trying to get kids going in this, in the recruiting process in Serbia, trying to get some of the guys on the national team, you know, that are based here in the United States to help grow the game as well. It's just finding those kids before they go to, you know, a handball team or a water polo team or a soccer team, because there's so much opportunity. And I feel that if we educate not only the kids, but their parents as well, because once again, with the Serbian background, it's such a family background. You want to involve everyone you possibly can. And to give the opportunity of baseball, Pete, you know, here you have scholarships for all these schools here, you know, that are always looking for the next best talent. Where can they be? Can they be on the field at Maine East here? Of course they can be, but what's out there beyond maybe Maine East or Maine South or Maine West fields, or just the borders of North America or South America? And if we can show the youth and their parents the opportunities that lay across the borders of Serbia with baseball, I feel like we can really grab them at an age and show them that they have an opportunity to maybe not make a living and be in the MLB or a minor league player, but they can go to school here in the States. They can go to school in Canada. They can go to school anywhere they want that have baseball programs. And I feel like that's a huge selling point, but we do have to get to them early. And they're such good athletes that if we do get to them early, they'll realize how great of a game baseball is and how much they want to stay playing baseball. It just, once again, being at the grassroots level, it's educating. And that's where the resources, that's kind of a tough thing to do when you're just really beginning, because you just don't, you know where to start, but you have to grab a decent amount of kids early.
Absolutely. Nick, you talked about it. You actually mentioned it a couple of times, you know, the great athletes they have there. You know, let's talk about that, because, you know, we know if you've got great athleticism, you know, you've got a better chance of playing the game of baseball better. One of the mistakes we make here in the U.S. is we got young kids, you know, at 8, 9, 10, 11 years old playing travel ball all year round, or possibly all year round. They don't play other sports. They don't develop athleticism. And, you know, the numbers show it. I mean, you can just see that it's just a fact that, you know, some of these kids don't go anywhere. They don't continue to play the game as long. There's the injury factor also. We've talked about it many times in the show with a lot of different experts. But here's the question, you know, when you talk about athleticism in Serbia, what do you attribute that to?
Honestly, it's just great genes, I guess. I mean, I wish I had the answer to that.
Makes sense. It's how they grew up. You know, I mean, if their parents were athletic, you know, there's a chance, you know, like, just like Major League Baseball, right? You see a lot of players whose their sons have become Major League players also. Genes is definitely a factor. What about, you know, is there anything, you know, you think about, they may, you know, the parents, how they groom their kids, you know, because a lot of these parents, don't forget, came in. We're talking about parents that have been through some tough times in Serbia. Right. You know, so we always talk about difficult times. We talk about difficult situations. Now, I'll throw one at you. I'm just throwing something out that I think is one of the reasons. If these kids start playing handball, and folks, handball is not what we think about in the U.S., okay? It's not hitting the ball against the wall with your hand back and forth and competing against your partner. Handball is like hockey, only you're throwing the ball to your partner and they're trying to score on the goal. So, Nick, when I look at handball in Serbia or in Europe, now you're talking about a lot of baseball skills there. You're talking about movement of feet, movement and catching the ball, getting position to throw. And I watched the 11-year-olds play that game. It's pretty rough, too.
Well, I know the game very well, Pete, because my uncle actually, for a short time, coached the U.S. national team for handball. And I saw him play, too, a long time ago when he lived in France. He was a professional player in France. And I vividly remember it, but I could just know when I saw him. And now I didn't know that until later on in my life. If Serbia baseball was something that was available when my uncle was in Serbia or Yugoslavia back in the time, he would have been perfect for it. He's like, 6'6", a righty. He could throw gas. You know what I mean? It just wasn't there for him. But you see a lot of these guys, and if you just turn on the Olympics this summer and watch a handball game, because everything now is definitely on TV for the Olympics. I guarantee you, you show some college coaches or, you know, maybe some minor league scouts or pro scouts, these guys, they'd say, look at the guy's body type. Look at their lower half. Look at the beating that they're taking. If you put him on a mound and you don't have some guy slapping his arm or, you know, or giving him a little like body check, just imagine what he can do with that frame and the arm speed that they generate and all that. They could be, I mean, they could at least be closers or middle relief pitchers, you know, at the very least. It's a big time talent and a big time sport that I think European baseball in general really needs to take a look at, not only handball, but water polo, just because of the power that these guys generate. And they're already, I mean, they're just, they have the mechanics down. They need to have the mechanics down. Also, they wouldn't be professionals in that sport. But I think that would be a good spot to look.
Yeah, when I first saw handball, one of the first thoughts in my mind was, man, we got to bring it to the U.S. and have our young kids play that game. They'd be so much better baseball players. And like you said, building strength with their arm. You know, I had a friend who did some studies in Europe on handball players as far as velocity, and there was definitely a correlation there. There's a lot of development. Let me take a question. I'll tell you why I'm going to take a question, Nick, because it kind of relates to what we're talking about here. From John Conena, and hopefully I pronounced that right. I'm Italian. I should be able to pronounce it. I believe Conena is Italian. If I made a mistake, John's going to let me know. He asks, you know, are the athletes in Serbia, when it comes to baseball or all sports, when they're young, are they more dedicated to that sport?
That they are. They are. You don't see many, like the two-sport athlete that you were talking about. They might play, you know, soccer and basketball, something like that. But there's one sport that they take way more serious than the other, I would say. Unlike here, where now, like you also said too earlier, Pete, the transition to where I remember I was playing soccer, baseball, basketball all at once, you know, and going all over the place, playing different sports. I think it's a trend that we're seeing around the world that if you stay with one sport, you're going to, and you just keep playing that one sport, you're going to be great at that one sport. I don't see it that way personally. I think the more sports you do play, the better it is going to be for you, because it's good to get a break a little bit in any sport. And for example, if you play baseball, you need good hand-eye coordination. If you play hockey and you're standing, because I see you're wearing the Columbus Blue Jackets hat.
My buddy's one of the coaches there.
I remember you were telling me that. So that's why I kind of made the correlation there. But if you're standing in front of the net in a hockey game and a slap shot's coming at you and you deflect the puck, you're working on your hand-eye coordination skill there too. So there's a lot of correlations in between these sports that I think if you open up the minds of, just like I said, any kid, doesn't matter who it is or where they're from, you give them the opportunity to experience as many things as they can experience. And they can take it into another sport. So even if it doesn't work out in baseball for someone, it might work out for hockey or vice versa. But at least you gave it a shot. And in the long run, I think you'll be better off for it.
Absolutely. So. And folks, we are with Nick Mitrovic with national team, with Serbia national team. We're going to talk about the national team program in a minute. But, you know, I believe in facts and not fiction or not what people might think. It's nice to think, but I believe in facts. And you know what, you know, I almost cringed the other day because I heard an announcer on television say, you know, boy, you could really be good if you stuck to one sport when you were young. And I almost wanted to, you know, throw something at the TV because, you know, studies have been done. I mean, there's almost like 98% of major league players were multi-sport athletes. I did a show with an expert in golf. He could only find one golfer at the highest level that was only a golfer. The rest of them were all multi-sport athletes. I mean, the facts are out there. So folks, especially the parents, please, when they're young, you know, we're talking about six, you know, sometimes we start baseball at 6 years old, 6 to 12 years old. You know, they talk about windows of trainability. That means let them play different sports, because if you're only playing baseball, not only can they get burned out with one sport, but we're also talking about the injury factor, that now they're using muscles specifically for that sport and they're not using all the muscles that you would with different sports. So I'm not a doctor, but you can do your research. Do your research, folks. It's important, especially if you got young kids in the game. Nick, how young do they start in Serbia? Because I'm interested for our federations around the world in case there's something unique. How young do they start playing? And remember, you got to get them to play, right? And they're playing other sports, like you said, soccer especially. What do you guys do to attract them? Because as soon as you show them the sport, do they like it right away? And do you go to schools? What do you do when it comes to the programs?
Well, that's what Nikola's doing right now with another guy in Serbia, Jola, too. Those two guys really had the little league kind of recruitment, I guess we could call it. The last time that I was in Serbia in 2019, before the pandemic and everything, in the last European Championship, we were there. We ran a little mini camp for, you know, the youth there. And I'd say the youngest kid that was there was probably 7 or 8 years old, if I remember correctly. And once we got there, you know, the first thing that we noticed, it was myself and about 2 or 3 other players. Once we got there, it was so fun. They wanted us to grab a glove and just join them and, you know, do a double play with them or throw a pop-up for them. They absolutely love the game. They absolutely love the game. Questions. I even have a video. There was one of the little guys on the Little League team wanted to do a handshake because they always, you know, they see these YouTube videos and, yeah, they're all doing the handshakes and stuff like that. So they gravitate to the game when they're exposed to the game. And that exposure is definitely a difficult thing. You ask anyone that's in Serbia that's involved with the game, it's hard to get the kids to come out. It really is. But when you do get them out, they just love it. They just absolutely love it. And like I said, they want to know the handshakes. They want to know the slang. We're turning two. We're doing this. They love all that stuff. So once they're exposed to it, they love it. The only problem is, and the Federation is working on this, is that we only have one field in Serbia, and it's in the capital city of Belgrade. So the fact that we only have one field, it is difficult because the practice that we ran or the camp that we ran was in Novi Sad, which is the second biggest city in Serbia. And it was on almost like a practice soccer field. So it's kind of hard to get the kids excited when they're not on the dirt, you know. And some of my most fond memories of baseball is my first games being in the dirt and kind of just playing in the dirt. I know it sounds a little weird, but I think we were all there at one point. We're like, hey, look at this. And then the ground ball goes past you and your parents and the coach are like, hey, you got to pay attention. The ball's coming. And you're just like so fascinated that you're on a baseball field because it's unlike any other field that you play a game on. So I think if we had one more field, which we are working on right now to hopefully get one in Novi Sad, we're working on getting some land there. I really think more kids will gravitate to it, but it's a lot of elementary school kids that we have all the way up to high school. And it's only growing right now. And that's a thanks to Nikola and Jola over there in Serbia, especially Jola. I know his kids, he's the head umpire too in Serbia. So shout out to Jola. He's the one doing all the European championships for us, but he has some kids too that are, you know, middle school age kids, elementary school age kids that really are taking, they're almost like leaders themselves and trying to get kids out too. So I want to thank them for doing that. It's hard for me because I'm not there. If I was there, I'd be going to all the schools like Nikola's doing too and trying to promote the game as much as I possibly could. Just on my end, you know, I try to do anything on Facebook that I possibly can, anything on social media that might be attractive, you know, for anyone. It doesn't matter if they're a kid or if they're, you know, a high school or college age kid that wants to play the game. We really don't want to turn anyone away from the game, and we want to make them aware of the game.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about the charitable organization and the magazine a little bit more. So if we have people out there who want to donate to the organization, because I know, you know, funding is a critical thing there in Serbia. It's very difficult to find funding for baseball. Explain to our audience a little bit about the structure there, you know, like how many clubs there might be, what a club is, and how many teams in a club. I know every club's different, but give us an overall view of that.
Yeah, so they have their own kind of league there in Serbia. The biggest team there that's won the most championships is Belgrade 96. They're pretty much one of the first teams there, and they are probably the most veteran group of the teams in Serbia. So I'll give you them, and I'll give you Novi Sad, because those are like the two now main teams in Serbia that are really the powerhouses, I guess, now, because Novi Sad is Nikola's team, actually, and they're usually the youngest team in the league. And they've been making strides, and it's good to see, because before they were losing games by a lot. I remember Nikola, the first time I was talking to him, he would say, oh man, today was not a good day for us. Today was not a good day for us. To now where they're competing with Belgrade 96, and Belgrade 96 has a lot of national team players. So to know that the Novi Sad team is coming up to a level of Belgrade 96, we are in a good position there. So they have their own little league over there in Serbia that is, you know, they do a good job of. They're doing the little league too. They're trying to grow that as much as possible. That's still, like I said, a work in progress, but they're getting there, and they're trying to get in some tournaments, you know, around Europe. And we even had talks last year before the pandemic that maybe we would have a little league team come out here to the United States and play in a tournament in Las Vegas. So it's a small little league that they do have over there, but they really do take pride in it. I get, when there's the championship, I'm getting messages from guys on all different teams, whether that be them complaining about something or cheering about something. So you get both things coming from Serbia, but they're really doing a good job of that so far. And I'm pretty proud of the steps in the 4 or 5 years here that I've been involved, from where it's been started to where it's been going. And I think every guy in Serbia in the league would also say that they're pretty proud of where everything's going league-wise, not just national team.
Yeah, Nick, I got to believe, you know, when you talk about, okay, they lack the fields, obviously going to lack some equipment and not easy to get, expensive, you know, but when you lack things, you're kind of hungry also at the same time. Yeah, they got to play on, you know, soccer fields, and you make it into a baseball field the best way you can with the bases. But, you know, we always talk on the show, you know, when you play in situations that are uncomfortable, you know, you become a better person and better player, because one, you're hungry, and two, you're playing with equipment isn't quite as good. You know, sometimes the ball might be 5 ounces. Another day might be 5.5, 6, depending on, you know, if it's wet or what kind of ball they're using. I mean, no different than the Dominican Republic or Cuba and some other Latin American countries. You know, they've got an advantage, obviously, a lot more players, but that ability or that playing in those uncomfortable situations, I would believe, makes them better players and more hungry to go to a certain level of baseball.
Well, when they came here in 2017 for the first time, and we were playing at Whiting, Indiana, at I believe it was called Oilman Stadium, and that, I mean, it's a very nice field they had there. I was even impressed with what they had. And when the guys saw it and they realized, hey, you know what? The ball isn't taking a bad hop here or there. I don't have to, you know, worry about the ball hitting me or getting out of the way.
Absolutely.
They were loving it, you know? And then when you take just the end of that tournament, and now all of a sudden I'm in Serbia and we're playing against you in Bulgaria, and your good friend Bill Percy's out there coaching the Serbian team. And yeah, he was telling me, hey, Nick, I've been out here for a week or two practicing with these guys. Just so you know, when you take, you know, some reps at center field, the ball might go left, it might go right, or it might jump over your head. And I was like, okay, Bill, sure, sure, sure. And then sure enough, he's rocketing shots at me, and the ball's coming at me 100 miles per hour. He's got a big laugh on his face, you know, a big smile on his face. And then you realize, like you said, even though that the field might not be up to standards of, you know, a field here in the States, it almost makes you a better player because of what you have to work with. And then when you do get on that pristine field or whatever it is, it's like a walk in the park for you, because you've been dealing with a bad hop here or whatever, or the five ounce ball, you know, where you can get a new ball almost every time, every game here. Now the same ball pretty much every time you pitch over there. Like you said, you might get a waterlogged ball, you might do this or that. So it is definitely a different thing, an experience with their fields over there. But I think it makes you a better player. And to be honest, no reason to complain. You could put me on any field and I'll be smiling ear to ear just to be on a baseball field. I don't even care. Even if it was a street with some bases, I'm happy to be out there.
Absolutely. Hey, folks, we're with Nick Mitrovic, the national team coach, one of the coaches with the Serbian national team. I'm glad you gave Bill a shout out. Bill Percy, one of my mentors and a great friend, both of ours. Bill's been all over the world also. He's been on a podcast. So a little shout out to Bill Percy. Hey,
Pete, I think he owes us a good steak dinner next time he's in town, right? Gibson's maybe?
Yeah, we definitely deserve that one because he beat me when I was the national team coach in Belgium. He took advantage of my youthful coaching inexperience. And then, he says that he beat me also in Belgrade in 2017, but I wasn't the head coach. So I don't know how you beat, beat somebody if you're not the head coach. But he always, reminds me of those situations. So that means I got to keep getting better. Hey, listen, John, my associate here, my partner with the podcast, he's got a great question. He says, do you see a big difference in strategy compared to United States baseball? The strategy in Serbian baseball, is there a difference how they play the game?
Well, I think the European style of baseball, from what I've been exposed to so far, is different than what we see here. Just in terms of how, like I said, how long the games go, and just it's more of a marathon. It's a slower game than what we are compared to, or used to, I should say, that we're used to here. The one thing that I think is a constant, actually, is pitching wins. And it doesn't matter if you're here in the States or in Serbia. And the one thing that I know when I talk to Nikola or I talk to Milan, who's one of our presidents of the federation too, the thing is, pitching is what we need. So all of our pitchers over there, we try to save as many pitches as we possibly can. So in terms of differences, I just say that the game is a bit longer. It seems like it's more stretched out. And I haven't really pinned out why that may be yet. Hopefully this year I'll get a little bit better of a pulse on why that might be. But really, I think everything comes down to pitching in baseball. And in Europe especially, if you have the arms, you can win at any level. I don't care how good or bad your offense is. Pete, you and I can grab a bat right now and be facing a guy that's throwing 70, and we probably maybe could get a hit off him. But if we got guys throwing 90 miles per hour, I don't think you and I for sure, we're not hitting any of that. So if we had more pitching, and I think if Europe just in general had more pitching, and that's where we find our problem is when we play against, someone like Israel, who we played in 2019. I mean, they had guys coming out, that were minor league pitchers just 3 or 4 weeks before the tournament, and they were just let go throwing 90 miles per hour. And our guys are coming back to the bench saying, these are Division I baseball players that said this. They go, one guy goes, that guy wasn't that great. Then the other guy strikes out after him and he goes, I don't know what he was talking about. That was the best pitcher I've ever seen in my life. So I think pitching is the thing that if Europe, once again, handball, water polo, these sports, if we can get those guys, I think European baseball could be on par in taking out some of these bigger, nations and different continents like North and South America. But not so much of a difference except for the time and game, to be honest.
Well, great point there. Cause obviously any level, any team, anywhere in the world, if you want to be a much better club, if you enhance your pitching staff from top to bottom, you can compete with any level, any team. You can compete in any game because, look at the Japanese. I mean, they can flat out pitch and play defense. And if they can get one or two runs on you, they got a chance to win the ball game. So that's important. But here's the question. What are they doing in Serbia? Because this is a question I ask a lot around the world. When you do have that issue, I'll take it in two questions. One, when you have the issue with pitching, the velocity aspect, what are some of the things you guys do to either get better velocity or do something different to give an advantage against the hitters that you're competing against? That's the first one.
This question right here, Pete, the one thing that I'm not the greatest at is pitching. So I have a couple buddies that I lean on. I'll ask for videos from Nikola or some guys from Serbia that they've sent things. And I have a buddy here that I coached with at Maine East that is real respectable pitching coach. His name's Matt Kudlik. He ran a great program here with the pitching staff at Maine East. He had a kid that actually got drafted by the Brewers a couple years ago in the second round, Antoine Kelly. And he really worked with them and figured out what worked with him. So I usually send a lot of my info to him, and he'll give me a nice little, you know, paragraph summary to send over to Serbia if need be. We had a guy last year. I'm sorry, Pete, but you know, with the pandemic, I always say last year, although it was a lost year. Yeah. When I'm saying last year, I mean 2019. We had a guy named Adam Pignatovich who pitched in rookie ball for the White Sox. So he really worked with the pitchers a good amount while they were there, left them with a lot of, you know, different, just different ways of going about the work that they do and adding velocity. Just small little things that don't even involve doing that much on an everyday basis when you're just throwing a ball. So I try as a coach, obviously I want to learn as much as I possibly can. So I try to pick the brains of those guys, but, you know, as a former infielder, outfielder, just position player in general, I kind of think pitchers are in their own world. You know what I mean? So when you try to understand them and they try to understand you, cause they don't hit or play the field, it's kind of like you're talking gibberish every once in a while. So I just know the very basics, but I know Adam and my buddy, Matt, they've been giving good information to Serbia. That's for sure.
Well, our folks out there, you know, obviously if you want to get better as a pitcher, you know, we'll throw some suggestions out there. You know, check out Perry Husband. You know, all you gotta do is Google his name. You know, he's the mastermind behind Effective Velocity, you know, and I bring that up, Nick, because, you know, we're always talking about throwing harder, but we always forget about what about throwing slower or different pitches. So there's different variances in the velocity aspect of different pitches and also where you throw them in different areas. You know, so not that we're going to get into that, but I just want the folks to understand that there are other ways to get hitters out. And it's not just velocity, but it's location. There's other aspects of it. But check that out. Check Perry Husband out. It's fantastic stuff. You know, the other thing is, Nick, you know, with the pitchers, there's also ways to obviously to increase velocity. I want the folks at home to understand, be careful with young kids when you're talking about weighted balls, when you're talking about 8, 9, 10, 11, 12-year-olds. Make sure they're strong enough to handle a weighted ball program. Make sure they understand weighted ball programs. Some of the Serbian pitchers, obviously, are probably on some weighted ball programs. But as a hitter, now you were a hitter there. You played there. Now you're facing Israel. So what are some of the things that you're doing with your hitters to help them pick up the fastball or to hit the ball that they're not used to seeing in Serbia at 90 miles an hour?
Well, I mean, it just, to me, it's just always keeping it simple when you're in the batter's box. For me personally, I always felt comfortable one spot in the batter's box. I didn't care if a guy was throwing 95. I didn't care if a guy was throwing 75. It was just where I felt comfortable and how I worked, but I always kept everything as simple as possible. So when I talk about hitting with guys, I don't like to go on a huge ramble. And I talked with Bill Percy about this actually before. We've had many phone conversations and I think he'll agree with me too. This is me personally, when I had a coach talk to me and come to me and say, hey, you're doing this, you're doing that, you're doing this, let's fix that, that, and that. Then it gets in your head and then you're thinking too much. So what I like to do is I like to basically tell the guys, you know, let's keep it simple. Just a nice little hands back on your load, a nice little toe forward on your front foot. Don't do too much. Don't do a high lay. I know there was one guy in Serbia in 2019, one of our power hitters, first baseman, Dušan, and his nickname's Tiger. So I always call him Tiger. He was out there. He's a big, strong guy. They call him Mini Stanton over there, Pete. Mini Stanton. And I go over there and I've seen him doing a leg kick almost like it's David Ortiz, and his timing is way off. The ball's behind him. And I brought him to the side. I said, why are you doing that? And he's like, oh, you know, timing, generating power. I go, but the power that you're generating is not going to matter if the catcher's already throwing it back to the pitcher. And the umpire said, strike. So let's get rid of that. You're a big guy. Just use your lower half, drive from the hips, and let your hands work. Your hands are perfect. Just nice and simple. He goes in there. First couple rounds, obviously not going to be the greatest, because in the game of baseball, as you well know, Pete, when you're making an adjustment after doing something over and over again, it's not going to feel comfortable. But once he started doing it, and I have to give another shout out to a legendary coach in the Chicagoland area, who you probably know, Pete, Bill Anderson, who coached Curtis Granderson way back in the day. Yep. He was with us in Serbia coaching, and he goes, that's a night and day difference. I'm glad that him and I were the one talking to him. I'm glad that we simplified it for him. And now he can take this and just think freely. He doesn't have to imitate David Ortiz or these big time players. Keep the game simple. And I think that will translate for the guys, not only in Serbia, but anywhere. That's my coaching style, at least. I don't want to make someone think that they have to do Mike Trout type of production to be the greatest baseball player in the world, or think that they're failing because they're trying something new and then they abandon it, go back to something else that wasn't working before. Right. So just nice and simple coaching style, and give them positive feedback when you can. If they do it right, just keep reinforcing that. Hey, you did it great. You did it great. Good job. And not, you know, if they do it wrong, don't be like, hey, you did that wrong. Why didn't you do what I told you? Just kind of let them figure it out. You know, it's a touch and feel process.
Hey, Nick, speaking about coaching, there's been a lot of American coaches, a lot of foreign coaches that have been to Serbia, you know, so you get a little different influence on learning from different coaches, as you already mentioned, a couple of them. We all know that, and I mentioned it earlier, you're going to get kids to play the game, and you said it, they love the game. So as soon as you show it to them, they love it. So they want to play it. But we also know that in baseball, there's going to be a little bit more failure than there is in most sports. So there's that aspect of how do the Serbian kids handle the failure aspect? And what do you guys do to kind of teach them how to deal with it a little bit better? Because you're not going to see it in soccer as much. You're not going to see it in handball as much because, you know, they're not failing that much. I mean, sure, they're going to not catch a ball once in a while, but you're not going to see an individual failing a lot. So how do you deal with that part?
Well, this is where I give the credit to the players 100%. The guys on the bench, I mean, and I'm not taking a swing at any other team or anything like that in Europe or anywhere around the country here in US or wherever I've played. But just the positivity of the players, Pete, I've never seen anything like it in my life. I mean, there were times when I was playing in 2017, where something just didn't go right, just for me personally as a batter or whatever. And I would just think like, man, I'm so upset. Like I'm so upset and down at myself that I'm letting these guys down. You know, I want to perform for them, you know, and I make an out. What do I know? Next thing, 3-4 guys are around me saying, it's okay. You're good. It's okay. And you just feed off that energy to where I was like, hey, don't worry about it. It's all good. Hey, we're good. You make an error? No, we're fine. We're fine. And I know it's just weird to say, but honestly, the positivity that goes around that team is second to none. And that's how they really deal with it. I mean, that's just kind of the Serbian spirit, you know? I don't want to get too much in history, but Serbian people, you know, they've been knocked down many times, you know? Mm-hmm. We've all been knocked down many, many times, but one thing that stays the same is the small nation of Serbia stays together. And that's such a prideful thing. And the pride takes away from the failures on the field because you know there's something bigger at the end.
You know, I'm with you, and I'll tell you why, because I think most of Eastern Europe, I've always said, is kind of like it's the next frontier of baseball players that are going to be in Major League Baseball, be in college and even in high schools. And I say that because being just with several of the teams, but one being Bulgaria, I told the Bulgarian players after we got done in the B pool, I mean, the toughest guys I've ever met, the most positive guys I've met. I mean, you know, guys that got hurt, they weren't even worried about the injury. The doctor, I remember doctor saying you'll be out for a couple of days. The guy was playing the next day. And you know, there's no way you're, and we only had 14 players compared to a lot of teams at 21. And you know, I remember situations where we couldn't take BP on the field. The other team got a chance to do that. They weren't complaining. They're just taking it in the cage, where I know a lot of our teams, they'd be complaining. How come they get the BP on the field and we don't? I mean, so I'm with you. I think it's a culture. I think it's a mindset there that's developed from when they're younger. And I believe it's a huge advantage, because how would you, I mean, I was like, man, I love this. I love the coach in this culture. I'd go into a barroom brawl with these guys, or to war with some of these guys, because I knew they had my back and they were tough. So those are tough things to teach, you know, dealing with failure, the toughness of the game. I mean, those aren't easy to teach. And all of a sudden, when you have a club of guys already like that, now you can focus on the fundamentals and the game strategy. Doesn't that make things a lot easier?
It does. And Pete, I'm just going to be honest with you. I was on a team back. I mean, I don't want to get too much into it, but I was on a team where even when I did well, and this is in the States here, even when I did well, I had guys on my own team saying, why are you doing this so good? Or why did you hit the ball over the fence in batting practice? Why did you do that? They're not even like happy for you. I'm like, guys, you know, I'm just happy to be here with you guys. Like, this is a brotherhood. We're a team. I'm cheering for you and not against you. If you really want to play the position that bad, have at it. But just so you know, if I'm on the bench, I'm going to cheer for you just as hard and for your success as I would mine. Like, I want you to do well. And when I saw that in Serbia, that we all had that same mentality, that's what makes us successful, because we're all just one group. And I mean, like I said, it's the greatest experience I've ever had. And that positivity, not one negative thought came into my head when I was in Serbia in 2017, when I was on the field playing. Not one, because I knew if something happened, I knew the guy that in left field or the guy in right field or anyone on the field at all would have my back. They wouldn't say, wow, this guy dropped that pop up. Oh, he let that ball go through his legs. That wasn't going to happen. You play free. And when that happened, it was the best baseball I ever played in my life. And I attribute that to those guys in Serbia, because if it wasn't for them being that positive, I really don't know how well I would have performed or how much pressure I would have put on myself.
Yeah, you got to love that. Hey, the other thing is, Nick, important here is the coaches. You know, there's been, like I mentioned, you know, a lot of American coaches there. We've done coaching clinics there for Serbia, for the coaches. But what does Serbia do? Because this is important too, because if you don't have good coaching at the grassroots level, what do they do to kind of educate their coaches there? Is there a program, or is there something they do to continuously, because you got to attract coaches also. Another way to attract them is you got to teach them the game a little bit.
Right. And that's basically, once again, being in a grassroots level, after 2017, I myself knew that playing is not really in the cards for myself anymore. And I can offer up my knowledge as a coach to help this program go further. And when that happened, we have another coach from the Chicagoland area. Well, two, Bill Anderson Jr. and Bill Anderson Sr. that went to go help. We have some players from here. Like I said, Adam Pinjatovic isn't one of those guys that played some minor league baseball, that, you know, is an interesting guy because he helps the pitchers, you know. Basically, when we expose the game of Serbia baseball to the people here stateside, that's our best way of getting the most knowledgeable coaches, I should say, because, like, as we were saying here, it's not well known, the game of baseball in Serbia. So it's kind of hard to find a guy or multiple guys in Serbia to take the reins and really teach the game. So basically now we're that's what we're working on towards next. How can we sustain coaching in Serbia? Do we send, you know, a college kid in the summer after he's done with the summer leagues to go over there for a few months and maybe run some clinics and teach some of the guys there? I know there's some guys in Serbia that know the game very well that I think would be perfect to do, you know, little league games or even the games in the be player managers in the Super League over there that they have. That would just be perfect to do that. But as you know, Pete, it's difficult when you can't have someone that's exposed to baseball like you or I 24/7 to be there and showing, you know, the drills, the proper way, you know, to coach third base or call a game, you know, calling pitches. That's a difficult thing to do when you're not exposed to the game. We can turn on the TV right now and we'll have baseball tonight and or just a baseball game on in general. They don't have that luxury. And the exposure of the game, you'll need, I feel like we do need some help on this side here in the States to go over there and continue that education process. That's the tough part.
And speaking about education, you know, we're talking about a year with the pandemic. What were they doing during the pandemic? Was there any, you know, Zoom calls with the kids or anything going on?
We had about two or three Zoom calls. I know that doesn't sound like a lot, but when you're trying to get, you know, a massive Zoom call with hopefully 15, 20 guys, it's hard, even during a pandemic, it's hard to get everyone in front of a computer at that time. So basically the last time we did talk with players is, you know, with this SBDA that we have, the Serbian Baseball Developmental Association, what they were expecting us to do for them or how they wanted the funds allocated and where the players thought it would be the best, you know, course of action. Did they need new batting cages? Did they need new jerseys? Did they need new baseball pants or bats or gloves, balls, whatever it was? That was really the conversation that we had together as a federation with the players. But yeah, it's like I said, it's just difficult when you're thousands of miles away to really have a good conversation with someone because you can only do so much over Zoom.
Yeah, and talk about the charitable organization. You know, how do folks, I guess, reach out if they want to donate equipment or if they want to donate some money? The program you guys are working on, how's that work? Where do they go?
So, yeah, if you go on Facebook, actually, and we have the Serbian Baseball Developmental Association, you can go right on there. You can even do a Google search and you'll find it. And you can donate on that page. You can kind of see some of the things that the organization does. And the good thing about our organization that we now are running is that it's a charitable organization where you can get tax deductions as well. So it does help us out, but it can also help, you know, anyone else out there. Even if you don't have, you know, a Serbian background and you just love the game of baseball and want to get, you know, into it or just help, you know, Serbia baseball in general, this is a good way to do it because it's not only helping us, but it does help you out a little bit too, which I kind of think is a nice thing for, you know, someone that's giving a donation.
And folks, we bring it up because a couple of things. One, we're going to take, I'll have Nicola give me the information and we'll put it on the show notes for the show so you can reach out and help. But we bring it up for a couple of reasons. One, you know, if you want to help, you might be Serbian American and I have more of an interest in helping. But then the other part is it helps federations in other countries understand maybe some programs they can use to fundraise because sometimes they only think internally within their country, but there's ways to fundraise outside of your country. And we'd love to bring the different ideas up. The other part is, Nick, is the magazine. Talk about the magazine. What's that all about?
So, yeah, the magazine, we kind of did one magazine that started everything out a little bit, just kind of a test run. Just to see, you know, the interest in it. And there was a lot of people that actually read it, but now we are having one published. I think Nicholas said it might be tomorrow or the end of this week that it'd be coming out. It basically runs through what the SBDA is, basically runs through Serbia baseball. Inside, we have some player bios in there too that you can see about the players and kind of see what it's like being a player in Serbia and just different experiences. And we thought this was a great idea because there's not many teams out there that are putting out, you know, these type of publications to see where the federation or national teams are going. So it kind of gives you a little bit of insight of where we're at and what we're about. And I think it's just kind of a unique thing. I mean, I'm not expecting everyone to read it or go through every single page of it. I know I will, because I'm always interested in Serbia baseball. But, you know, I've had people message me on Facebook saying that, or even a couple weeks ago when I was at, you know, when I was on Facebook, obviously, I don't know why I just said that. I'm saying the same thing over again. A few weeks ago when I was on Facebook, I had someone reach out to me that said that they read it. And they were interested in, you know, in getting involved. And it was, you know, a couple of players that were just interested in it. So it's just funny how the people that reach out to that or see it want to either play or find a way in terms of finding help with donations and things like that. So I think people appreciate it because it shows the hard work that we're actually putting into this and not just expecting someone to open up a checkbook and say, hey, here's $1,000, you know, that'd be nice, but we just really want to be transparent and show, you know, the world what we're about. That's basically it.
All right, Nick, in closing, let's close with this. I'm going to throw a couple quick things at you. Give me some quick answers here, best you can. Give our audience an idea, number of players totally playing in Serbia, playing baseball.
Number of players, I want to say, last time when I was there, boots on the ground, 2019, it's probably about 50 kids at that camp, I want to say. I would say close to 100, 125 guys, I want to say.
Amazing. And you're competing in the European Championships in Belgrade 2021. That's the A level, B level?
That's going to be the B pool. That is going to be the B pool. And we're hosting again, which we're obviously very proud of. And I hope you enjoyed 2017 being in Belgrade and seeing the type of tournament we ran there. So
loved it. Great job. Unbelievable. I saw Nikola on the field all the time, all day, you know, working so hard, all the guys with him. No, I thought it was a very well-run tournament and obviously a beautiful city, Belgrade, beautiful country. What about your competition? You know, you're not talking about a lot of players in your country, and you guys got to compete against some, you know, pretty tough competition. What's some of the competition that you got to go up against?
Yeah, this year, I mean, I think it might change one more time because I believe it already has changed once. I know Norway's going to be in there. We're going to have Ukraine, who from all accounts, we Great played job. Russia in 2019, and I've heard Ukraine's pretty much on the same level as Russia in terms of talent, and those are pretty good teams. So you have them, like I said, Norway, I believe Estonia is the other one, and I don't know why I'm drawing – Sweden. Sweden, I think, is the last team that we'll be playing against. Bulgaria. Sweden was the team that got transferred out. So – Bulgaria is going to be the other team that will be in that. So that's, and including us too. So as you know, like you said, Bulgaria, they're a scrappy team. You've helped coach them. I would say they're probably one of our main, you know, rivals in Serbia right now, not in terms of like, you know, throwing at someone or anything, but just in terms of us playing each other so much and the relationship that the players have with each other and coaches have with each other. I know, you know, it's a good rivalry. So we're looking forward to that. Like I said, Ukraine, obviously a good program as well. Norway and Estonia, those are two teams that I have not been able to hear too much about or encountered in my time in Europe. But I'm expecting some really good baseball out of those programs as well. Every step of the way that I've been in Europe, I've been – pleasantly surprised at the competition. When you think of a country and you say, oh, well, I mean, it's happened with us. Oh, Serbia has baseball. Well, yeah. And then when you see the results that we put out there, they're like, whoa, you guys aren't that bad at all. So I'm expecting dogfights in every one of those games, especially with A pool. I know that that's the cream of the crop and we've been chomping at the bit to get there.
Yeah. And that's the goal, folks. That's to get to the A pool, because the winner then goes up to the A pool. Obviously a great challenge. Now we know you've got American players, Serbian Americans that'll play on a national team. But what about Serbians that are playing in the States? You got any kids playing high school, college baseball?
Well, we had one kid that's just recently graduated high school who's going to college. The last time I talked to him, I know he was looking into playing, I believe, at a junior college. And hopefully we'll be able to get him for the European Championships. He just doesn't know right now because obviously being in the States and going to school in the States, if you're not getting too much of a scholarship, he might stay here. And he said he might just kind of work some baseball camps or something like that. He's one guy. I mean, there's another guy in Serbia. I know that we'd love to try to figure out a way to get him here. Giga is one of our biggest pitchers. He's really one of the main, if baseball in Serbia is really going to take off for the next 5 to 10 years, he's one of the guys that would totally benefit coming here to the States and getting that hands-on, you know, almost every day proper pitching mechanics with a proper pitching coach. He could, the sky's the limit for him, to be honest. So there's always that option. To me personally, I'd love to get to a spot where we get guys from Serbia coming here and playing. But like I said, being at a grassroots level, we just got to figure out how we can be as competitive as possible and as fast as possible right now to get as much interest as possible. Because as you know, Pete, and everyone else that is listening to us today knows that winning is where the most excitement comes from. So the more wins we can put up, the more kids that are going to want to play. And when the kids come out and play and the talent of a Novak Djokovic or a Nikola Jokic in basketball, the more the people see that, then those guys are going to want to come over here because of how great of a talent they are and how good of an athlete they are.
All right. That is a great way to end the show. You know, young kids in Serbia, you know, their goal, obviously, if they love the game, they can come play in the States. That's a big goal. Playing for the national team is a big goal. Nick, man, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much. Any last comments about Serbian baseball? We covered it pretty good.
I covered it great. I appreciate you having me on. Sorry, it's getting a little dark here. I would have turned on the light if I knew we were going this long. But I appreciate you giving us the platform, and hopefully we'll run into each other. And you're, I mean, heck, we kind of live down the street from each other, really. So we'll have to get a Portillo's hot dog or something like that, or catch a game. But hopefully we'll be coaching against each other, or hopefully coaching with each other one time in Europe, and really have a good time like we did in Belgrade in 2017.
Never know. It might be Belgrade 2021. All right, folks, that is Nick Mitrovic, national team coach with the Serbian national team. Nick, thanks so much. Special thanks to Brian Crocker, producer with the Lineup Media Group. And also, remember, special thanks to ESPN Honolulu, 92.7 FM and 1420 AM. Thanks for joining us. And we are going to have a show pretty quick here with some experts from Honolulu, baseball coaches that have coached there, or it could be experts in the game. So we're looking forward to having them on the show. Stay tuned, folks. Special thanks to everybody in the U.S. and around the world for joining us. I'm your host, Pete Caliendo. Stay safe, stay healthy. We'll see you on the baseball field pretty soon. God bless y'all. See you in the next show. Bye-bye, everybody.
This has been Baseball Outside the Box with Peter Caliendo. Listen online at baseballoutsidethebox.com and subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets. Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter. Get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.